Hello, and welcome to Season 2 of Between Two Term Sheets, where we meet with prominent investors, founders, venture builders, and accelerators to discuss early-stage funding in the high technology space. Our host is Owen Matthews, founder, CEO, serial investor, general partner at Wesley Clover, and chairman of Alacrity Canada.
All right, welcome everybody. Another episode of Between Two Term Sheets. This week we're with Chris Voss. Chris Voss is the CEO of the Black Swan Group that coaches and trains on negotiation and is the author of the book Never Split the Difference. How you doing, Chris?
I am fantastic today. Thank you very much for having me on.
We were speaking earlier, Never Split the Difference. You said it's translated into a whole pile of different languages and is sold around the world. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it's kind of cool. I mean, the book, I think we're in 20 languages right now, everything from Slovak to Chinese and everything in between. So, and the cool thing about that is that the negotiation approach that we use translates into every culture. I mean, it's about great collaboration and simultaneously not being victimized, which is a fine line to walk, but it's something everybody needs.
Right. So, I mean, we're all people around the world, and we have, similar, different cultures, but ultimately, a similar human experience. Tell me about the basics. This is a book which is sold around the world. It's based on negotiating, really to try and save lives.
Yeah, all this is originally derived from hostage negotiation, my experience as an FBI hostage negotiator and negotiating inside the U.S. and kidnappings around the world. So it's really as crazy as that sounds. You got to find a way to collaborate. People are faced with mutual problem, and the adversary is the situation, not really the person on the other side of the table. It's really counterintuitive, and it's really effective.
Right. So that must have been a very high stress environment.
You know, everything's stressful. I mean, there's an old saying: your biggest problem is your biggest problem, but in terms of a hostage negotiation, the biggest adaptation is, doesn't matter what it is to me, the stress on me has got to become irrelevant. What is it to the other side? Is it a coping mechanism to the other side? Is it another day at the office to the other side? The crazy thing about international kidnapping is, for us, it's a horrific event. For the other side, it's a job. It's what they're doing for a living. And you adapt to the other side, and that's the best way to succeed in any negotiation.
Hmm. So what are the major premises? You're negotiating, in a hostage situation, and you're focusing on, empathy for the other side of the table, but at the same time, not giving them much away either.
Yeah, not giving anything away, really. I mean, empathy is so misunderstood. It's become synonymous with sympathy these days. And that's just completely wrong. The Daniel Goleman coined the term emotional intelligence. His last book, Focus, he talked about three kinds of empathy. And what we're putting in negotiation is what Goleman referred to as cognitive empathy, which is just completely understanding where the other side's coming from. Important part of that is there's nothing in there about agreement. That's a critical issue. And there's nothing about even liking the other side. I mean, when you completely understand where somebody's coming from, it's very diagnostic. And if you define it that way, you can use empathy with anybody on the planet. I mean, I can use it with a member of Al-Qaeda if I need to. I can use it with anybody.
So you're trying to understand the state of mind and the situation of the person on the other side of the table.
Yeah, and it's pretty easy if you just confine it to that. It's not that hard to see where they're coming from. Where we get in our own way is whether or not we agree or disagree or whether or not it's accurate. You know, the other thing, too, is if my job is just to understand where you're coming from, you don't have to be right for me to understand it or fair or in any of those other terms. It's really kind of simple, but it's really, really hard for some people.
Maybe I just, I'm a little more comfortable with that concept, having teenagers. I have a certain requirement to have empathy, but at the same time, it's pretty difficult to understand their point of view sometimes. All right. So now you talked about some sort of high level. There's like eight different aspects.
There's eight 9/different skills. Mm-hmm. You know, we combine them in different ways for strategy. That makes it sound like maybe we're trying to launch a rocket into outer space. But with a little practice, it's not that hard. They're all just sort of communication skills.
All based around empathy.
Yeah, based around, well, empathy, gathering information. You know, Herb Cohen wrote a book about negotiation back in the 1980s called You Can Negotiate Anything, I think is the title. And he defined negotiation as the use of information and power in a web of tension. Now, the only adjustment we make on that is not the use of information, but it's the gathering of information. We're going to go to the table to try to figure out what's going on. A lot of people are scared to go to the table until they know what's going on. That's an impediment, and it's one of the reasons why the people that we coach, biggest thing we do is we get deals faster. We'll knock a massive amount of time off of your deal time, which at the end of the day makes you more profitable, not by exploiting the other side, but just by getting the deal quicker.
So part of the negotiation is actually the period of exploration where you're trying to understand the information from the other side. You get right in there and say, well, we may not know a whole lot, but let's start understanding. And that's all part of the negotiation and, you know, part of the exercise in getting it done quickly.
Yeah, let's discover what we don't know. I mean, let's discover where the unknowns overlap. Intellectually, everybody understands this. If they haven't heard the term an asymmetric world, at least they understand there's no such thing as perfect information. You can't know everything. We understand that intellectually, but emotionally, really experienced business people think, I know what's going on here. You know, I don't get surprised at the table. I do my research. I do my homework. And that scares people because part of your homework's going to the table. You can't know everything. And some people have a tough time admitting that.
Well, that, and, you know, doesn't matter what's written down. It doesn't matter what people say about their intentions are. You know, their true intentions come to the table. You find out often, regardless of what research you've done.
Yeah, exactly. And there's always going to be hidden agendas. And I want to find out what those are before I make up my mind on what I want to do. And not all the hidden agendas are bad. I mean, people hide a lot of stuff just because they're scared.
Yeah, it's interesting. I generally provide advice to people who are pitching for investors early on to try and avoid opening up the laptop, because the minute you open up the laptop, the minute you convey, you know, a presentation, what you're really doing is handing a whole pile of, you know, power over to the other side, and you're never engaging them in a conversation. You're just presenting information. They're absorbing the information. They become naturally critical of that. If as much as possible you can engage in a discussion, find out more about them, find out more about their intentions, you know, the size of their fund, you know, the type of things that they invest in, the type of deals they've done before, you're exploring a relationship as opposed to pitching. And you don't get a deal done with somebody when you're just pitching. You get a deal done when you you realize that you're compatible. You realize you can build a relationship. I generally say it, simplify it as much as possible. If you open the laptop and open the PowerPoint presentation, you've already lost. You have to explore the information coming from the other side.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. You got to find out, you know, what kind of pressures are there? What are they thinking about? What do they want?
So most of our listeners are would be technology entrepreneurs, if you had any advice to help them through the basics of getting set up, and say they're going to negotiate their first term sheet, and they need to engage in a relationship with investors, and they're probably inexperienced, they don't necessarily know the language investors, they don't necessarily know the sort of accepted, you know, behaviors of working with investors. So they're probably nervous going into that first pitch or that first meeting. What advice would you provide to a young entrepreneur in that set of circumstances?
Well, there's great power in deference. So don't be deferential because you feel like you have to. Be deferential because it's a smart thing to do. Now, if you're a young investor and they're experienced people on the other side of the table, they are dying to show you how smart they are. Just dying. There's going to be a massive amount of information in there for you to gather. And then on top of that, you give them the chance to show you how smart they are. They're going to feel really good about it. They're going to feel bonded to you. So get them talking. Be deferential. Be a sponge. Don't be there to show off how smart you are. Be there to show off how astute you are, which is not the same thing. Listen to them and gather the information. They're going to be more likely to invest with you or at least give you information that's going to make you smarter.
Yeah, there's definitely, you know, you could spend 45 minutes doing a pitch and at the end of the pitch have a quick conversation and realize they can't invest in you anyway. So why did you spend the 45 minutes? You know, better off that you ask for some help and say, well, if you can't invest in us, who do you know? Who's in the space? Who could we work with? You discover that through conversation.
Yeah, or even a company that we're a global advisor to, Hyperloop Transportation Technologies. They're based out of Los Angeles. They're building the Hyperloop. And they're going to build it. It's phenomenal. In coaching their guys, you know, they're doing pitches to investors. And now that we coach them to find out up front how to trigger the other side, yeah, that people come in and say, well, you know, we're not really looking to invest in infrastructure. We're not an infrastructure play. We're looking for a tech play. And the Hyperloop guys go, we're a technology company, much more than we're an infrastructure company. So people might have a great reason for investing in you and not know it. You gotta get them the other side talking to find that out. Otherwise, they're going to give them the infrastructure pitch. And all that falls on deaf ears because they're looking for tech plays. So two different sides of the same coin, but you got to be on the same side of the coin in order to have a good conversation.
You're suggesting you spend a lot of time listening. At the same time, you're listening for, you know, key points. You're listening for you know, an opportunity to engage. So you're definitely learning. So you're spending a lot of time paying attention, you know, to what the other side is saying. At the same time, you still have to engage. And you know, any advice on when to engage, when to shape the conversation, or do you just do that naturally based on what you're hearing?
Yeah, well, let's take a step back and talk about this listening thing. This is provocative listening. You know, listening is not a passive activity. Effective listening is not sitting there with your mouth shut. That's probably the least effective way to listen. You're listening strategically. You're listening provocatively. You want to trigger the other side to talk about the things you want them to talk about. So, you know, listening is not a passive activity. If you haven't been engaging long before you're trying to make your points, then you've already lost the game.
I think that's excellent advice. So you must have some pretty phenomenal stories. I don't know if you're allowed to share any of them, but you know, what do you think would be both informative and entertaining to the people that are tuning in?
Let me throw something out along the lines of what we just talked about. So there's a concept in hostage negotiation called proof of life. And, you know, does a bad guy really have your hostage? Are they going to let him go? The exact same idea applies to business. There's a person on the other side of the table. Are they looking for a deal, and are they going to make the deal with you? In every negotiation, there's a favorite and a fool. You got to know up front which one you are, the favorite or the fool. You also got to know if they're just on an information gathering exercise where they're going to take your information, your knowledge, and they're never going to make a deal with you. So we coach people right up front to be, you know, politely, deferentially skeptical of whether or not there should be a deal there. It's a game-changing move immediately. It stops people from wasting time. The other thing it does is it refines down what your value proposition is. So the company, again, that we're advising, one of the few people that we work with that we can talk about openly, because we don't normally talk about our clients, but this is a different relationship we have with Hyperloop. We teach them to talk to investors right away and say, you know, why are you interested in us? Why do you even want to talk to us? What that does is immediately trigger the other side into giving you what part of your value proposition, if any, appeals to them. And that's how, what I was talking about earlier, they understand people who are not interested in technology investment, or they're not interested in infrastructure investment, but the other one. They got to know what to talk about from the very beginning. Our Hyperloop guys do this all the time.
So effectively, by taking the position that, you know, you're not necessarily interested in the deal, or you would be interested in the deal if it was on the table, but let's disqualify ourselves first and find out what they are interested in, and therefore we can hone in on what really matters to them.
Yeah, and in reverse psychology, the reason why that works is people will talk about disqualification much more quickly because there's no implied commitment. If you get into a conversation and you say, hey, why would you make this deal with me? If they answer that at all, being human beings, we feel that there's an element of commitment there, which means they're going to hold back. Mm-hmm. Now, the flip side of it is, if you say, look, you know, there are a lot of reasons why you wouldn't. Let's talk about why you wouldn't do this. there's no reason for them to lie or hold back, and they won't, because they can give you that information, and there's no commitment whatsoever. On top of that, when they start telling you why they wouldn't do things, they feel they're, for lack of a better term, lecturing you or enlightening you or teaching you. And that makes people feel so good to do that, that they'll give you a lot of great information, because it's inherent in our nature to feel better about ourselves by disseminating information. People love to tell other people what to do or how to do it, as long as there's no commitment. And the unvarnished information you get from that is a lot more useful.
That's excellent advice, Chris. So anything else you might want to add? We're wrapping up to the end of our time. I think this has been a really, really interesting conversation, much in line with the way we think about guiding companies and the way in which we encourage them to approach a negotiation with an investor or certainly how to get those early sales. What other key points do you think would be helpful for our audience?
Well, let the other side go first. I mean, there's some classic advice out there from Stephen Covey called "Seek First to Understand, Then Be Understood." And what we tell people is seek first to show understanding. Get the other side talking. Show them that you understand. It's amazing what a position that puts you in to make your points after the other side feels like they've been heard all the way out.
All right. Excellent advice, Chris. Thanks so much for taking the time today. Enjoy the weather down in L.A., and I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Between Two Term Sheets. Our show is hosted by Owen Matthews, produced by Anya Vysotska, and brought to you by Alacrity Canada. Head to alacritycanada.com to find out more about Alacrity and our other initiatives. You can find more episodes of Between Two Term Sheets for free wherever you listen to podcasts.